Hey, welcome to The Conversation. This is Andy Mason, and you're listening to authentic conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And we are on this journey of actually unpacking the dreams and desires of your heart, how to turn those into practical action steps and deal with the challenges along the way. And literally, I'm taking this out of the book, Dream Culture, Bringing Dreams to Life. You say, well, are you allowed to do that? Yes, I am, because I wrote it with my wife. You are welcome. I think it's just such an appropriate time right now, in the middle of craziness, in the middle of it, when uncertainty, it's the best time to dream, realign your life with what's most important. Start businesses in the midst of this. Some of the greatest businesses of time have been started in recessions and difficult times. Companies like Disney, if you've heard of that name before. So here's chapter 8, Faith and Action. We've just gone through in the previous episode, putting legs on your dreams. That's the real, real practical process of breaking it down into a goal and then taking action on that and how to do that. You can do it for yourself and with friends. But this one, chapter 8, Faith and Action. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37. Now that you've walked through the chapter on putting practical legs on your dreams, it's time to turn again to the issue of faith. Hopefully you will never actually leave faith behind. It is our prayer that your faith is woven through every action step you take as you pursue your dream. Our desire is that you pray and get heaven's perspective at each stage of your dream and hear God's voice leading you at every point. His grace is available to you in the pursuit of your dreams, but it is easy for us to get so practical that we think we can do it all in our own strength. We encourage you to keep connected to God throughout the process so that achieving your dreams does not become an end in itself, but rather an expression of your pursuit of Him and what He has for you. This means constantly talking to Him about your dreams and including Him in the planning. You are partners with Him in your life journey. The partnership requires great communication. You bring Him something, and you bring something to their partnership, and it's important that you know what is your part and what is God's part. Every person in a successful partnership has a clear understanding of his or her responsibilities. A business partnership where both partners assume responsibility for the finances of the company, but neither of one of them takes responsibility for selling anything, will soon fall apart. For each dream, you need to have a clear understanding of what your responsibility is and what you believe God will do on your behalf. The previous chapter focused on your part of the equation. By now, you've probably started to take action steps towards seeing your dream realized. You will need to continue to push further in order to take new ground, and you will also need to adjust your course in order to stay on track. In the midst of this, we encourage you to keep seeking His perspective on your progress and allow Jesus to speak to you about mid-course changes of direction. Remember that this is part of your journey to discover more of who He is and who He has created you to be. Often we don't have a complete picture of where we're heading before we set out, so we must seek His guidance to keep us heading in the right direction. In this chapter, we want to spend a little bit of time talking about how to understand God's side of the partnership. God makes a great partner. He is faithful and can be trusted to do what He says He will do. He will never let you down, and He has more resources and wisdom than you do. The trouble is that many people never tap into the resources He wants to make available to them because they lack understanding of how to partner with Him. Partnering with God means walking in faith. Faith is the evidence of hope. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. See Hebrews 11:6. That's a huge statement. It means that faith is the non-negotiable currency that God looks for in His interaction with you. If faith is such a big deal to God, we had better know what faith is. According to Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is described here by two very solid words, substance and evidence. Usually these words are reserved for things that you can see, taste, and feel, but here they're used to describe faith. In a court of law, the judge is unlikely to accept your faith as evidence, but God has a different standard. He says it is faith that pleases Him, and His description of faith has substance. Testimony. Dreams accelerated by heaven. Jake and his wife's number one dream was to buy their own home. In coming to his first meeting, Jake's dream coach asked the Holy Spirit for a specific word to encourage Jake. All he heard was the word proceed. This sounded a little unusual until they started talking. It turned out that Jake was looking at a promising house to buy, but he just wasn't sure if it was the right one. On hearing the word from the dream coach, the level of excitement and courage in the room dramatically increased. Here's what happened next. Last year, we didn't qualify for the loan we wanted. This year, our finances have not changed, but we qualified for the loan. We thought we would need to borrow the deposit from our family. However, we found a bank-owned house that only needed a deposit of $1,000, so no family loan was needed. The house previously sold for $280,000, and the bank was now asking $166,000. We offered $150,000, and it was accepted. Initially, we were shown that the property was half an acre, but after our offer was accepted and checking the title, we found that it was double that. What was impossible 3 months ago happened in just weeks. Everything feels more attainable. It has shifted my timetable of what to expect, what is possible now. So what is faith? Faith is that thing inside of you that allows you to go from just hoping that something will happen to knowing it will happen. When you have faith, you will go to the bank on it. Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness because he ignored his natural circumstances and just trusted God that he would do what he said he would do. I'm going to read that again. Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness because he ignored his natural circumstances and just trusted God that he would do what he said he would do. The Hebrews 11 Hall of Fame lists many great men and women of faith. These generals of faith took what God said as solid substance they could count on, even though their natural eyes could not yet see it. Faith is the thing that empowers you to make declarations with your words that create something from nothing. As Hebrews 11:3 states, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which we are seeing were not made from things which are visible. God made something from nothing through his words. You were created in his image and his likeness. You get to do the same by faith. Partnering with God involves walking in faith. In order to see our God-given dreams realized, we must know how to see with the eyes of faith and walk according to what we see with those eyes, rather than our natural eyes. We believe this involves two arenas. The first is our action steps, the us side of the partnership. As previously stated, just because we're doing something does not mean we abandon faith and do it in our own strength. We are wise if we partner faith with our action and believe God will supernaturally increase our efforts to bring about more fruit than we would otherwise expect. The second arena where we must employ faith is in the God side of the partnership. This may seem obvious, but we've seen many people trip up on this point. As people look at their dreams, they have a tendency to classify them as those that they have the ability to achieve through hard work and those that they need God to do for them. In the SMART goal format, this is wise. It allows us to clearly take ownership of the things that are under our control and not expend all of our energy stressing about what we cannot control. However, the downside of this for many people is that it allows us to mentally put those things in a category we have no responsibility and have no control over the outcome. In this place, we become passive and feel powerless and move from faith to unbelief. Let me give you an example to help explain what I mean. Let's say that Jane has a dream to get married. This is a great dream. She has put it into the arena of God's side of the partnership because she believes he has the perfect man for her and she is unable to make it happen through her own strength. This is wise, as many have felt the pain of trying to make this dream happen through their own ability. The problem is that it then becomes easy for Jane to begin to think there is nothing she can do to sow into that dream. This is not true. It is not a case of sitting back and just waiting for God to do his thing and becoming passive. Jane still has much she can do to sow into her dream of getting married while she is still leaving the outcome totally to God. First, she can position herself to stay in a posture of faith over this matter. That might mean regular prayer times, thanking God for her spouse and praying for a future husband. It might be making declarations over herself or using her sanctified imagination to picture the day when a dream can be fulfilled. One response is passive, one is active. The first response brings a feeling of powerlessness, but the second keeps Jane actively sowing into her dream, yet trusting God for the outcome. Beyond intentionally keeping faith alive to believe God for her dream of getting married to come true, Jane may also choose to take some action steps to sow into that dream. These faith action steps will partner with what God is doing on her behalf to move her toward the dream. One young lady I worked with realized that although she had a dream to get married, she rarely made any effort to get to know anyone outside her immediate world. She chose to make a goal around intentionally meeting new people, male and female, to grow in her ability to be a friend. This was not taking over God's part of the process, but was partnering with him by putting her faith into action. The book of James has a lot to say about faith. Chapter 1 starts off by saying that faith needs to be without doubting. The emphasis in this chapter is on the level of belief. James gives a vivid visual picture of showing that having faith and yet not really believing is like a wave on the sea tossed by the wind. He then goes on to explain that if you're double-minded, you should not expect you will receive anything from the Lord. Wow, he makes a good case for having faith that doesn't waver. In chapter 2, James moves on to another aspect of faith. He takes the requirement from just believing and makes it clear that faith needs to be accompanied by action. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James 2:14-26. The above passage closely links faith and action. James says that faith is shown by our works. Here he is not talking about works by themselves, but works linked with faith. He is saying that our actions demonstrate the faith we have in our heart. It is not our works that save us. It is our faith, see Ephesians 2:8-9. But God is interested in our actions in response to his voice. My life is a result of the decisions I have made and the actions I have taken as a result of those decisions. How I live shows what I really believe, faith or unbelief. It is easy to say that I trust God to provide for me. But if I'm constantly stressed out over money, my life says that I don't trust him. Our lives trumpet the sound of what we really believe. Abraham's action of putting Isaac on the altar was a natural outcome of the things he believed, his faith, and so it was credited to him as righteousness. See Genesis 22:1-19. And so it is for you. God is looking to see what you do with what he says to you. In the example above, Jane had a desire to get married. She made a decision to partner with God in order to move towards that dream. But her decision to walk in faith and going after the dream will be shown by action in response to God's voice. The same is true for you. It is great to have dreams that require God to show up. Your dreams should be so big they scare you. But even for those dreams that are beyond what you can control, you have a part to play in them. You can attract breakthrough by positioning yourself to receive from God. In his book, Face to Face with God, Bill Johnson gives keys for how to set up an ambush so that you are in God's firing line for blessing. See Face to Face with God, Chapter 6, Setting Up an Ambush. You can't control God, but you can look for what he loves and what he responds to and align yourself with that. Our heart is that you will learn to sow into even those dreams that are in God's hands in a way that says, I know I can't make this to happen, but I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do what I can do to position, propel, or prepare myself for it. Let me finish with another example. Let's say I have a dream to see thousands of people healed through my ministry. As I put that into a SMART goal, I realize I have no control whether or not people get healed. As a result, I change the SMART goal to, I will pray for 1,000 people for healing within a certain year. My goal now fits the SMART goal format because it is specific, measurable, attainable, dependent only on me, realistic, and time-bound. That is great. It allows me to focus on my side of the partnership and leave the outcome of whether the people get healed in God's arena. The problem is that there is the potential for me to move into passivity over God's side of the equation rather than looking at what I can do to position myself to increase in favor with God. Passivity looks like simply praying for people in faith and just asking God to bless me and grow me in seeing people healed. This will attract a measure of favor as you align yourself with God's heart to see people healed and as you take the risk to step out in faith. However, there is a greater level of engaging with this dream. The first part still looks the same. My SMART goal remains to pray for 1,000 people in the next year. But as I recognize that my faith is what moves God, I am also interacting with Him over His side of the partnership. It may be that I undertake some training in healing prayer. It may be that I consciously choose to step out of my comfort zone in other areas to grow my capacity to move in faith. I may intentionally grow friendships with people who move strongly in faith or choose to serve in a ministry where praying for healing happens regularly. All of these steps help me to take ownership of my growth without trying to do what only God can do. Taking action steps to pursue growing in dreams like these keeps the ball in my court. God still determines whether or not the dream is fulfilled, but I have partnered with my faith with action to do all that I can. The goal here is not just mere activity, but taking an active stance on what could easily be seen as something outside of my control. Sometimes the active stance will be to do nothing but trust, to simply stand and see the Lord come through for you. But if He is asking you to stand, you're in a posture of responsibility rather than a posture of powerlessness. Dream activation exercise. Adding the faith dimension to the art of thinking bigger. Step 1. Choose a dream. Find a dream from your dream cache or dream list that you think might be too small or where you're too afraid to really write down what you are thinking. Step 2. Dream bigger. Now on your own or with a friend, increase the size of that dream beyond the borders of your comfort zone. Visualize what it would be like if you'd made the dream 10 times bigger, added bells and whistles, multiplied its impact, and shot for the moon. It doesn't matter whether or not what you visualize feels realistic or possible to you. The purpose of this exercise is to stretch your dreaming muscles and learn to think beyond your limitations. You don't have to commit to this dream just yet. Just practice the skill of dreaming big, just like your Father in heaven. Here are some questions to help. How would this dream look if it were 10 times bigger? What if it were 100 times bigger? If God went before you and eliminated all the obstacles, what could this dream possibly become? What other areas of influence could this dream expand into? If you were fearless, what would you attempt? If God is your God, dream big. D.L. Moody. There is more of God beyond your fingertips. That concludes chapter 8 of Dream Culture, Bringing Dreams to Life. You can grab a copy of the entire book on Amazon, and I will see you, or talk to you, next week.